All right. Good morning. Still kind of morning, I think. Okay, let's see if I can work this. Yep. Okay, so what I'm going to do today is just kind of give you a short-term outlook on what's going on with the cotton markets. And before I get into it, I'm going to give a little bit of a disclaimer. Some of the information that I'm going to talk about today is not actually from any of our planning intention surveys. I actually haven't seen it yet. So I'm just going to talk about some of the data that's out there right now looking at 2017 forecasts. But again, all of our forecasts will start coming out in February at our annual meeting. Okay, so taking a look at cotton prices have generally strengthened since the lows observed in early March. A significant bump occurred in mid-July, and that was following the release of those July USDA estimates. Markets were seeing some strength in part due to tight supplies to meet near-term demand. Now, throughout 2016, cotton prices have generally strengthened. Futures markets started out in the low to mid 60s, and they've came up into the low 70s towards the second half of the year. And just in the last few weeks, we've seen futures prices bound in the range of about 69 to 72 cents, although in the last few days we've actually seen prices going a bit higher. Okay, so as we look at prices of competing crops, and this chart shows our cotton to corn price ratio, cotton prices are generally stronger relative to some of the major competing crops right now. It's not that cotton prices are actually just really attractive right now compared to the cost of production, but when you look across other competing commodities, they are more attractive than, say, corn and soybeans. Now, when we look at what acreage might be in 2017, I just want to preface this by saying the number that's on this graph for 2017 is actually the cotton grower survey estimate. So cotton grower just came out with their recent estimates. It's about almost an 8% increase from 2016. So I went ahead and sucked that in the 17 numbers so you can see that. But again, that's not the NCC estimate. So when we look at the cotton to corn price ratio, what the numbers for the previous years are generally is it's the average value of the closing contract from January 1st to March 31st. So for 2017, that's not that number, of course, because we're not into March yet, but we're just looking at the early December numbers. So we see a pretty big jump in that cotton to corn price ratio, given where cotton prices are right now and where corn prices are right now. So you can see the trend going across. Anytime that ratio bumps up, we usually see an increase in cotton acreage. So it's a really pretty good relationship to look at. So when we look at that number compared to what cotton growers estimating, you can see there's a little bit of a gap there that could signal that there could be a little bit more of an opportunity for an increase in acreage. So cotton growers estimating about 8%. Of course, I haven't seen any of the planting intentions results, but just in general, some things that I've been hearing across the industry is we may see a little bit higher than that 8% increase. And again, it'll vary by which region we're in. And just to talk a little bit about kind of what the results we're looking at in the different regions, in the Mid-South, I think we may see a bigger increase, and if you look at the cotton grower estimates, I think it's about a 24%. The largest increase would be in Mississippi, and what we're looking at is if you look at yields in Mississippi for the past 5 years, we've had excellent yields for the past 5 years, and that's kind of encouraging more cotton production. We look across other states, and cotton growers estimating an increase in Texas acres, I think of about 200,000. I've been hearing an increase possibly in Oklahoma acres. In most regions, we're going to be seeing an increase. Now, on the cotton grower survey for Georgia, they're mostly showing the acreage will be flat, maybe a slight decline. And, of course, in Georgia, you have a little bit different situation because you're looking at increase in peanut acres due to peanut PLC payments. So, again, I think there's a potential for a significant increase in cotton acreage for 2017. So we'll be anticipating the results of those planting intention surveys, because I'm kind of interested to see if our results match the cotton grower and exactly where we come in on acreage. Okay, so 2016 cotton production, you can see we were at estimated 16.5 million bales. Now that's about 3.6 million bales higher than 2015. And one thing that I want to point out, and as we get into this next crop year, is you know, when we look at this year's results, and I'm going to move it forward just a little bit and talk about quality for a second. So we have had excellent quality for this 2016 crop. Now, I don't have the final numbers yet from AMS, but just looking at where we have been right now, we're looking at some record staple lengths and record strength as well. And I'll show you that graph in just a second. So I think that's really good news for the U.S. cotton industry because we're known for good quality. But this year in particular, we just had exceptional quality. So you can see for average staple length across 2016, about 90% had a 35 staple length or higher. So of course, that's great news for cotton. And if we look at average strength, we're also on track to beat our record last year. Our record last year was 30.3, so we're on track to beat that and be at about 30.6. Now, again, final results aren't in yet, so these could change just a little bit. And, of course, Daryl would be the one who probably would have the most accurate information over there. Okay, so looking ahead to the U.S. balance sheet, again, as I mentioned earlier, the crop's about 16.5 million bales. One thing I want to point out, in the latest USDA report, mill use for the U.S. was decreased, and we've been kind of seeing a trend over this year of each year mill use has kind of gone down a bit. Now, NCC does a monthly mill use survey, and what we've been seeing in that survey is we are definitely below where we were last year, and right now it doesn't really look like we're on track to meet that 3.3 number for 2016, so that is a bit concerning as we look at mill use going forward. Now, one thing I want to point out before I move on to a few other things, and again, because I know some of you in the room are growers or maybe consultants that work with growers, and as I mentioned earlier about our planting intention survey, the survey period is December 15th through January 15th. So if you're a grower and you haven't responded, please do so. If you're a consultant and you work with producers, please remind them to do so because, again, we would like to have, of course, the most accurate information that we can for that survey. Okay, so looking ahead to U.S. cotton exports, let's talk about U.S. exports for a second. USDA estimates exports of 12.2 million for 2016. Now, that's a 30% increase compared to last year. Weekly export sales have been very strong, so we're seeing really good export numbers. The current number is at 8.9 million bales. If we look at this same time last year, we were at about 5.3 million. Now, that sales shipments are at about 3.9. Now, what we've seen is exports to China have continued to decline over the past few years. And looking ahead to the next few years, we really don't expect that China is going to increase their imports of cotton until they work through their stocks. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. What we do see in the very near future, though, is that China could emerge again as a large importer of U.S. cotton, which, again, is great news for U.S. cotton demand. Okay, over the last 5 years, the international markets for U.S. cotton have changed tremendously. From 2010 to 2012, China was the largest market, followed by Turkey. If we look forward to 13 to 14, China was still the largest market, but they declined. Vietnam and Turkey became larger customers. Now, for 2015, China has further dropped, and Vietnam has now the largest market. Vietnam could continue to become a larger market as they expand their textile industry. And, of course, when we compare Vietnam to China, China produces a lot of cotton, Vietnam doesn't. So they need to meet that demand by importing cotton. Turkey continues to be an important market, but the implementation of the duty has definitely impacted the U.S. market share. Okay, so let's take a look at the top export customers for U.S. cotton, and this is for 2016 year-to-date numbers. So export sales to China, Pakistan, and India have all increased this year and have already surpassed where we were for the whole marketing year in 2015. In 2016-17, Vietnam, China, and Indonesia are also significantly higher than they were the same time last year. And as we've mentioned, and you've probably heard several times, we've talked about China not being as important as an import customer. However, what I want to reiterate is that while they're not our top customer right now, they're still a very important customer. So they're still importing a lot of U.S. cotton, but not where they were. But again, we do expect that to go up in the near future. So over the past 5 years, Turkey was our second largest, and as I mentioned earlier, our exports to Turkey have been affected by the implementation of the duty, and we've been following the data for the past few months, and we definitely have seen a reduction in the U.S. market share for Turkey. Okay, the U.S. will remain the largest exporter of cotton with 2016 shipments at 12.2 million bales. That's about 31% higher than last year, and that's the highest forecast in 4 years. So you can see that red line would show the U.S. market share. To reach that estimate, the U.S. market share obviously has to go up. So In 2015, it was 26%. We need it to go up to 34% in 2016 in order to reach that estimate. Now, we're on track with exports, so it looks like we will likely get there. Now, what I want to point out is, you know, it seems that this number might be somewhat unattainable because of where we have been in the last few years. We do know that if we look back to 2014, the U.S. market share was 32%. If we look at 2010, the U.S. market share was 41%. Now, the key difference in those years compared to this year is that we were exporting a lot more cotton to China in those years. So, again, we have to look forward and look for other markets if China isn't going to be a large importer for a couple of years. Okay, so since we've talked about China a little bit, I can't end a discussion on the U.S. cotton market without talking a little bit about China. So China announced a new plan earlier this year for their state reserve auctions. Now, they had auctions this past year that went on through from May through September. They sold almost 12 million bales. It was much more successful than anyone anticipated, which resulted in a pretty decent reduction in their stocks. Now, going forward, they plan to regularly auction off the stocks from March to August each year. So this year, that will start on March 6th. Now, what they've described the auctions as, they want it to be gradual and well-planned, and they're trying not to impact the market to a great extent. And I would say with this last year, they did accomplish that. There weren't large impacts on the market. Now, looking ahead to other policies outside of the reserve program, they still have their target price program in place, but not for all regions. They're keeping it in place for their main cotton-producing region, keeping the tariff rate quota at 4.1 million bales, and they're not really expected to provide any additional quota for the next few years while they're working through their stocks. Now, again, the reserve sales will start up in March. This past year, they started in May because whenever they announced the program, we were already kind of past March. It took a couple months to get it going. So it's really coming up pretty quick. So in just a few months, they'll start the reserve program again. So I think most people are kind of anticipating what's going to happen with this year's reserves, and is it going to be like it was last year? Are they going to sell, you know, another 12 million bales? And, you know, if they do, I think that would be great. Obviously, we need to work down those stocks. Okay, so I know Barry mentioned a little bit about fiber prices, but I wanted to talk just briefly about it as well. So, of course, as he mentioned, in 2010, you saw the big difference in prices, and that really caused a shift in the market. China's cotton policy has really helped man-made fiber. I mean, that's no surprise. Internal cotton prices are much higher than polyester prices, and I think the key point when we look at China and we look at polyester, we look at cotton, the key point is that cotton is really locked in a tremendous battle with man-made fiber right now. Again, when you look at the price difference, it's really hard to compete. Now, while higher prices are needed for cotton and increased demand is needed as well, it's important to remember that there's a balance between just how high the price of cotton can be and cotton demand. If the cotton price keeps going up and keeps going up too high, then there'll be a further shift to man-made fiber, so we really have to continue to watch that. Now, as I talked about China man-made fiber use, China is one of the top producer in man-made fiber, and if you look at where their man-made fiber production is, it's huge. You can also see their excess capacity. They have much more capacity to continue producing even more man-made fiber than they are right now. Now, this again, China is the largest textile manufacturer. They're the largest cotton user. So looking ahead into what their policies are over the next few years related to not only cotton, but man-made fiber will be very important for us to monitor as we go forward. Okay, so cotton area, I wanted to briefly talk about this for a minute in China. China used to be the largest cotton producer. In 2015, they actually started trailing India. India became the largest producer. China has significantly reduced acreage since really 2008, 2009. They're now at the lowest level that they have been in recent history. Now, their plan is to maintain acreage in the Xinjiang region. And so if you take a look at where they were in 2016, it's actually down a little bit. But for 2017, they're projecting maybe about a 3.5% increase in acreage for Xinjiang and some of the other provinces because they're kind of wanting to get up, bump it up just a little bit more and then maintain that acreage. I don't see large increases in acreage going forward. Again, they're just trying to get to a level to maintain that acreage. And we'll talk a little bit about this in in a few minutes, but they're also planning to expand their textile industry in the Xinjiang region. Again, they're expanding their textile industry, but they're not necessarily expanding production. That leaves some opportunities for some imports of cotton. Okay, so although USDA projects an increase in Chinese mill use in 2016, and you can kind of see that on that gray line, China cotton mill use has actually declined from 2009 to 2015. And again, what does that do to? Lower price man-made fibers. They bumped up mill use for 2015 and 2016 due to the reserve sales because they were much more successful than anyone anticipated. Now, as I just mentioned, China's still the largest textile manufacturer, and they recently announced plans this last year to expand the textile industry in the Xinjiang region. And so what they said they're going to do is increase spinning capacity in Xinjiang from about 11.9 million spindles to 20 million spindles by 2023. Now, an expansion in China's industry coupled with, you know, slightly lower production, again, can't reiterate this enough, but it presents a significant opportunity going forward where China could emerge again as an important importer once they work through their stocks. And if we look at what happened with their reserve auctions this past year, if that happens in the next few years, let's say they reduce each year, 2017 and 2018, maybe another 10 or 11 million bales each year, that could get us back down to, you know, in the range of 26 to 27 million bales. And if we look at where China was before all of this started back in 2010, that's kind of consistent with where they were and what their stocks-to-use ratio was at that time. But again, we can't really anticipate yet exactly what will happen with the auctions in 2017 and 2018 and whether the same, you know, the same events will take place that happened this past year. Okay, so switching gears for just a few minutes to talk about another topic that I wanted to make sure, I'm sure all of you probably are aware of it, but just to make sure, the marketing loan rate for 2017-18 was announced on October 1st of 2016. So again, this is the 17-18 marketing year. That marketing loan is based on the average loan rate for 2014-15 and 2015-16. So it's the previous 2 years complete marketing years. The loan rate will be 49 cents, so it's actually 49.49 cents per pound. Again, our marketing loan rate has been at 52 cents and has not dropped down below that. So this is the first year in this farm bill where we knew that the mechanism worked to actually lower the loan rate, and in this case, because of where the AWP was, it will be lower for 2017. Now, it's not all bad news because we've looked ahead to 2018. 2018-19 is going to be based on the 15-16 and 16-17 marketing years. And currently, if we take where we are right now in the 16-17 marketing year, the loan rate would be about 52.2 cents. Now, if the AWP stays above 51.5 for the remainder of the marketing year, which is another 25 weeks, the 18-19 loan rate would be above 52 cents. And you can see in this graph, this is kind of where it has been, and it's been staying up there. So if we continue on the track that we are right now, the 18-19 loan rate will be back above 52 cents. Okay, so looking ahead, some of the key factors to watch would be, of course, U.S. production and exports for 2016. We already know where most of the production is. We want to kind of see what those final numbers are. Exports, we're definitely on track to meet the export number that USDA has projected, but we'll see where we get on that. One thing to point out is next week, so we'll have the new USDA estimates for January for 2017, so I'll be interested to see where they have their numbers coming in and if anything changes, any significant changes occur. Now, of course, the current market suggests more U.S. cotton for 2017. Exactly where that will fall, we'll have to wait and see. China's reserve stocks, of course, that's another one that we're definitely keeping an eye on. You know, we're hoping that the same thing happens in 17 that happened in 2016. The less stocks that are hanging over the market, the better it is for cotton demand. Now, also the potential expansion of China's textile industry could mean good news for cotton demand. Now, the key thing, and probably one of the most important things on here, and Barry mentioned it as well, would be the competition for man-made fiber. I just cannot stress enough how big of an issue that is for cotton demand as we move forward. Now, another key point to note also is the strength of the U.S. dollar. We're at, I think it's about a 14-year high. The stronger the U.S. dollar, the more expensive our exports are. So, of course, that's a key factor that could limit our exports of cotton. And again, sluggish economy, it's growing a little bit, but we need to have slightly higher growth to have a higher cotton demand. And that's all I have. Thank you guys for the opportunity to provide the update.